Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Genesis chapter 1. We read about God's creation. Now, you don't have to turn there. It's easy to find if you want. But Genesis 1, we read God's creation. In Genesis 2, you read about the creation of man and God's instructions and His warnings. When you get to Genesis 3, you read about the entrance of sin into our world and the consequences of going against God's will. Now, after sin enters, in verse 9, God calls to Adam, and here's what God says: Adam, hey, where are you? Where are you? This is an interesting question from God. And I just always, the first time, the few times that I have read through that, the many times, I always read that and I go, okay, that was an interesting question. God, who knows the beginning from the end, is He really asking where man is? Like He doesn't know. Is He really saying, you know, okay, I give up. I know this is a great game of hide and seek, but now I can't find you. Is that what He's asking? And everybody goes, well, no, it's not. Today God's asking you, where are you? Not for His benefit, but for yours. Where are you? God does that. For our benefit, He'll ask a question. I see it all the time. People involved with God, enjoying His presence in the fellowship of other believers. I've watched this my whole life, and then all of a sudden they forget that there's enjoyment in the presence of God, and all of a sudden something takes their being out of that place. Testimony this morning was given about how people will walk away from God. And I never cease to be amazed at they don't recognize they're doing it. And I'm like, everybody else does. Everybody else that's in His presence recognizes when someone walks away from it. If you are in the presence of God and someone's enjoying that presence with you and then all of a sudden they're not, who's aware of that? The person that's in the presence. They're going, wait, we were enjoying this all together and now someone's not here. In church, I've seen God start to move. I've seen Him move in a situation. And all of us, I've seen it right here in church. God is starting to move. And all of a sudden, somebody's got to go to the bathroom. Or they need to text someone. Or something else about their cuticles are more important. I've just watched it for years. I don't know what happens, but it's all of a sudden, His presence starts manifesting and doing a great, and then all of a sudden, there's a mass exodus. Wow. Now, the point here that I'm trying to make is I don't know why, but I know what happens. I don't know why it happens except for people start getting uncomfortable knowing who they are when they start seeing who He is. Now, I'm just very aware of the amount of people that get up and leave when God starts moving on the hearts of people. Now, I know you're sitting here going, okay, now I need to go to the restroom and now I can't get up. Well, yeah, you can. I mean, but I am going to tell you, I feel your pain right now. How awkward would it be if I got up and left? Hold on, I'll be right back. See, I mean, I'm going to quote a favorite statement of one of my favorite pastors. You can need to and not. Now, I've said that before, and a parent has made their kids sit there, and we have had children pee their pants in service. So please continue to parent. I just want to make sure you understand that God's asking you today, where are you? Where are you? You need to know where you are. As a church, we have asked and we've done a pretty good job of addressing this question. In fact, if you're sitting there, you've probably said, I've heard you say that before, Pastor. We've talked about this before. And you're right, and there are things that I'm going to talk about again and again because it's always been on my heart. Yeah. And see, we want people to address their weakness, their sin that is entrapping them, and realizing that at times you're not where you need to be. And there are times where you need to be, and then you exit out of where you need to be. We've just seen this time and time again. You're right where you need to be, and next thing you know, it's 3 months, 3 years later, and you're like, where am I? You should have asked that question way sooner. By the way, the testimony that was given by Chico this morning, he and I did not communicate. And he's probably just going to be blown away as I was when he was talking about what I'm talking about. I don't know why I'm always so amazed, but you know, the Spirit of God just amazes me how he does things that I would have thought we could have got together and worked this all out, but God already did. Yeah. Verse 9, let me read it again. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Verse 10, he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. I wrote 100 responses to that, but I'm just going to leave that right there and say, man heard God and decided that it wasn't going to be comfortable to let him know, here I am. And I also think that God could have said, where are you? And then looked right at him. I don't know. I've just got a whole bunch of thoughts of what kind of took place it with eyes and with emotions and I mean, all these thoughts. Too often we have, as a church, left people with this thought, only figuring out where you are. Yeah. And not going ahead and saying, okay, so what do you do when you figure out where you are? What do you do? When you figure out where you are, you need to go on to God's second question that he asked in Scripture. We've talked a lot about the first one, but what's the second one? Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. After he was like telling God his excuse, then God said something that is profound. Who told you that? Who told you that? Today, the title of my message is, who told you? Who told you? Mankind thought that he could improve on walking and talking with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. He thought he could improve on what God set up. And so he does something that all of a sudden makes him aware of where he is. And it's not in a want to, in his condition to be in God's presence. And so now, because Adam and you and I have tried to not be where we should be, and we're not aware maybe of where we are, we've entered into stress, worry, fear, because we thought we could do it better than God. We thought we could do it better than God. That seed, that sin nature, has now been passed down to all mankind. Welcome. Welcome to sin. It's not a welcoming place, but I'm just telling you, everybody's there. Everybody has had to deal with this, and we've been dealing with the same serpent that was talking to them, and we're dealing with the same one right now as was talking to him. He's still trying to mess with man. He's trying to mess with you and I and talk them about who they are, what they should or should not be doing today. All the time, we're inundated with thoughts of doubting God and doubting his goodness. Let me go a step further. The thoughts go as far as accusing God of what he didn't do or what he should have done. And we start questioning him. When you start questioning someone, you don't have a real desire to be on his page. God, I don't know. Everyone gets this. This conversation in your own mind takes place all the time in the life of a Christian, pretty much on either a daily basis, an hourly basis, or it could be a few minutes just passed by and I'm questioning again. What do I do now? What do I do now? What'd you do here? Social media, news, so many different things are filling our minds with a different way of looking at it. Here's what you got to know. The serpent, Satan, Lucifer, you call him a whole bunch of different things, this same being, he talked to Eve, obviously, as a snake. Now, mankind got smarter, especially some of you ladies. It don't even take a snake talking to get a hole right in the back of his head. If my wife screams, she's found a snake. Or one of the grandkids are doing something. But it's one of the two, and only one of them's getting a hole. But I'm coming running, and I'm just telling you, I mean, Satan can't pull that one over again. Everybody's aware if a snake talks, he don't even have to talk. He just got to show up, and he's in trouble. Obviously we get that. But don't think that Satan's still not trying to talk. And he's still not trying to move you. And he does it through, and you can write this word down if you're taking notes, friends. He does it through friends. Countless posts on Facebook and what you're reading about and how you should think on this particular subject. I get about sick and tired of people posting things about the church that's turning God's people away from it. These conversations happening on a daily basis in social media platforms. And I want you to know that Satan just has a new form that he has taken upon to make people question God. And here's my whole message today is God saying, hey, who told you? Who told you that? Who are you listening to? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? God wants you to ask yourself, hey, who told me that? Because that thought right now is in my head. Who told me that? As you study the word about the devil, we read at one time he was in heaven. He was one time living with God. He was right next to God. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12, that he was the model of perfection. He was so full of wisdom. He was exquisite in beauty. He was in Eden. He was in the garden with God. He was ordained and anointed as a mighty angelic guardian, blameless in all he did from the day he was created until the day evil was found in him. Now, that's what the Bible says. See, the devil let sin in his heart, and he rebelled against God, and he was kicked out of heaven. Now here's who he is. He's full of anger, full of rage, and all of it was brought on by himself. Every bit of it. God didn't want any of that. He had him in a position that was in a good place. All of what he did was self-induced, and he's telling you and I bad things about where he used to live. You think about this for a second. This is what Satan does. He tells you bad things about the placement of where he used to be. It's happening way too much in the kingdom of God. People acting like they were once in a position and they were with God, and they get angry, frustrated. It's all brought on by self. And the next thing you know, they are removed for whatever reason, and they start telling others, spewing and foaming at the mouth, how horrible it is to be where I once was. Where were you once at? In the presence of God. Yeah, that's a real horrible place. But for some reason, people listen to him. Who told you that? Who told you that? You got to be aware. All of us find ourselves thinking thoughts. When we have thought what we think, the next question you should ask is, who told me that thought? Who told me that? I mean, in psychology, you've got to know there's so many things that is studied in psychology, and one of them is philosophy. And philosophy is a neat subject because there's a lot to be thought about when you start thinking about the way people think. But from a very young age, you're shown a picture of a mouse, and you're told to say mouse for very early age. And then you're shown a picture of an elephant, and you tell them to say elephant. Let's just pretend that nobody knows the difference, and you start showing a child, and every time you show them an elephant, what we know as an elephant, you start saying mouse. And then every time you show them a picture of a mouse, you start saying elephant. Philosophy says, and psychology backs it up, that you do that long enough over time, you will confuse the next generation and they will think an elephant is a mouse and a mouse is an elephant. Their perception of what they saw is different than what we were taught to see it as. Once you hit about 40 or 50, you start seeing this process go on all the time. And what I always want to go back to, and I want to say, is who told you that? Here's the sad part. A lot of young people, it's their parents. Who told you that? When you first come to this church, oh, I just love this church. It has to be the greatest church I've ever been to. I always want to say, just hold on. Because not long, that pastor or that youth pastor or that teacher or that person leading here, they're just all out to get you. That's what they're all out to get you. No one really cares. They don't even know what I'm going through. Nobody even knows me. I'm just telling you, as pastor for 18 years, I've heard just about everything. Now, I'm continually going, nope, I haven't. I thought I had. So I'm just waiting. There'll probably be a new one that somebody's disgruntled or frustrated about for some reason. And here's what I'm just going to ask every time is what God, who told you that? Well, I just know it. Who told you? Because when I go and talk to that person, that's not the story that I get at all. Let's all get together. I'm not getting together with them. Where did that come? Where are you? Where are you right now? Because that attitude's not the presence of God. Let's get in the presence of God. And then let's define who told you that. You start a new job, you love the job, you just can't wait to get started, and then in a very short time, you're fed up and you're ready to leave and I don't care anything about it. And people there that you work with will start telling you, you know, you deserve better. We all deserve better. Your boss is using you and you're not appreciated. Who told you you weren't getting paid enough? Well, they're paying you exactly what they told you they'd pay you when you agreed to go work there. Oh, Pastor, you getting on me? No, I'm just saying, I'm asking you who told you that you were not getting enough. Who told you that? I know who told you that. It's someone who's on their way out and going to be looking for a job, and you're going to be standing right by them. See, we just... on and on, you start school. I've seen this at CMA, and you love everything about it until a week later. Someone told you something about the school and what? Church, we're living a great life. Yes. Well, Pastor, you don't really know what's going on. All I'm telling you is this part of the country is awesome. Michelle and I just got back from spending time in Colorado, and I'm telling you, it's beautiful, but you can't breathe. Some of the elevations... just getting out of the seat of whatever I was riding in is like you get out and you're like, hold on, I got to catch my breath. An elevation of 12,000 feet is very difficult. And it's not just because I may be a little overweight, it's people. In Missouri, we have lakes. We have Branson in our backyard. And praise God, we got oxygen. We got a lot of things here. It's good. It's a good place to live. We have air conditioning. Here a few weeks ago, if you were here and we didn't that one week, you could go, man, thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. See, it's hard for me to watch people living depressed with anxiety, living in fear, living in worry. No one likes me. There's nothing to do. I'm bored. I have nothing going for me. There's got to be something better than this life. All I'm telling you is I want you to say, okay, first, where am I? And next, who told me this? What is producing this thinking? Who told you that? Who told you this isn't a great life? You need to go buy a rod and reel. Well, I don't like fishing. I understand that. Buy you a bow and arrow. Come on, there's plenty of things to do. You might not like this, but let's do this. I mean, the greatest country in the world, we have this thing called cornhole. It's fun. It's everywhere. You can't go anywhere in the country. They got it sitting out everywhere now. Genesis 3:11 tells us how to live our life. We have thoughts about life, thoughts about people, thoughts about situations, and then we start making those thoughts ours, and we don't ask, where did I get that thought? See, you got to hear this. I know I'm belaboring a point, but we've got to get it to where this is what we ask. In biology, when I was growing up, I learned a couple of things, and not a lot, but they taught this, and it was really, really important. If you had two X chromosomes, you would be a girl. If you had an X and a Y chromosome, you would be a boy. And you know, we go and we can find people that were buried thousands upon thousands of years ago, and we can get into their structure of DNA and find out if that was a man or a woman. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You can do that? But right now we have young boys and girls confused about whether they're a boy or a girl. My question is, who told you that? Who told you that? Who told that little boy he might want to be a girl? That was never an issue when I was a little boy. I am at this day and age of my life, I'm going, who's telling people that? Yeah. See, and God's wanting us to ask this question. God knows the intention of our heart. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all and is everywhere. He's all the omnis. You can't go far enough away from him that when you go, oh, okay, I'm this far away, as soon as you turn, he's right there because he's omni. You can turn your back on him, but as soon as you turn your back on him, you're facing him again. Oh, man. And you find yourself trying to run away from someone who's omni. Yeah. Try to run away from air. He's just asking us this question today so that everybody will evaluate on a daily basis, hey, where am I getting this thought? Who told me that? Who told you? Who told you? Where am I getting this thought that is producing this action? This thought that is leading me where I'm ending up in my marriage, with my children's lives, with my work environment, with my church. Anyone here, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, but have you ever been catfishing? I have. We used to set a trot line out at night. And then the next morning, we go check it, and there was catfish all over it. We would hang out at the dock with one of my good friends growing up, and we'd have this stink bait. And I mean, we'd come back, and we smelled horrible. But we'd come back, and I mean, we had some catfish because we were catfishing. Well, I just always knew what catfishing was, and I've recently learned what I thought is something that I did when I grew up is not what it's now known to be. It's kind of like the elephant and the mouse. Catfishing is not catfishing anymore. A catfish has another definition. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, really? Yeah. Yep, I'm headed right there. I have recently learned what I thought was what it was is no longer what it is. Catfish, let me give you another definition. It's a social media term for someone who presents themselves as something they are not. They lure someone into a relationship by means of a fictional online persona. Those are some big words, but that's a dictionary. If you don't understand it, ask your mom and dad. If you don't, talk to Melanie. She's an English teacher. A catfish online discusses their appearance. They show an appearance. They show who they are. They talk about what they do. And it's not really what you have been told it is. We've got young girls who are friends with someone who's a 50-year-old pervert. And he's presented himself as a 20-year-old hunk with a brand new sports car and a lot of money. You got to know, and some of you are old enough that you don't know this, you can be catfished. And it has nothing to do with going to the lake. Many young girls across this country have had their lives destroyed because they were catfished. See, they were not harmless people that they were talking to online. They were vicious wolves. Jesus addressed this years ago. And I just, you need to know who's talking to you. You need to know who's telling you what. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." Beware of false prophets. Beware of someone who lies and tells you something that is not true, who came disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Jesus spells this out for us. Now, I got to tell you that I have read Little Red Riding Hood. Isn't that the name of that? Yeah. Y'all looked at me like, where is he? You can see something that looks right, and it's in disguise. It's not what you think it is. That's why no one sits here and thinks that they're going to allow Satan to talk to them as a serpent. He shifts into something else. So how do I know that I'm being catfished? How do I know that I'm looking at a wolf, not a sheep? How do I know that? Someone would say, well, I didn't know. My grandfather, I loved him. More, I mean, he was great, but he was ignorant on the computer. I had to cancel his credit card way more than once because he would say that somebody come online and tell him, you need to pay this or you need to do this. He'd just give him a credit card. Grandpa, what'd you do that for? Well, I didn't know. They just came across the screen. It popped up and said. Now, you guys can look at this and go, that's just not smart. I know. He was catfished. He didn't know. And so his excuse was, I didn't know. All I tried to tell him is, you need to know. Who told you that? Well, it just popped up and you listened to him? Yeah. I didn't talk that disrespectful. It's all right, Grandpa. We'll get her fixed. And then I go talk to my wife. I didn't know this person was filling my head with unforgiveness. I didn't know this person was filling me with bitterness. I didn't know this person was selfish and telling me that I should be too. I didn't know. See, here's the cool thing. Jesus didn't leave us there. He had verse 15 in Matthew 7, but he also had verse 16. And he says, you can identify them, the vicious wolves, you can identify them by their fruit. That is the way that they act. You can identify them by their fruit and the way that they act. In verse 16, church, we have got to become more aware than ever before. Christian Ministries Church, I talk to Chapman about this all the time. You've got to watch out who's influencing our young people. And everybody gets that and they'll amen it for our young people, but what about you old people? What about us that, what are we doing? Who told you that? There was a time in my life where you really knew who your friends were. I mean, you knew people. You did life together. Yeah, as a young person, I was treated no different by my friend's mom than my mom. If I messed up at a friend's house, it was just the same responses I'd get at my mama's house. And if I messed up, it was even worse when I was at a friend's house because I get a whooping there and then I get another one when I got back home. You knew how people acted. You knew the expectation. You just knew people. Come on, can anybody testify? That's me. When I was growing up, you knew people. I knew who my friends were. I knew who they were. Now on social media, you can have 400 to 500 friends conservatively, and many have as many as 3 or 4 and even 5,000 friends. The definition of friends has changed. You can write this down. You are not friends with 3,000 to 4,000 people. Someone come up to me and say, well, I can show you my friends list. Yes, I am. Well, your definition is messed up. A person who someone knows well and has a bond of mutual affection. That's what the dictionary says a friend is. You are not friends with everyone whose post you are reading. Come on, church. Oh, pastor, we are two friends. No, you're not. You don't know each other well enough. And who's telling your child? Parents, you ought to go and look at how many friends that your child has on social media. Because they're listening to every one of them that puts a post on there. I'm just asking you today, who's telling you? Who's telling you what you're believing? A time when you knew people and friends and when your friend would start talking. Now, I'm not saying that all your friends had it all figured out. I mean, there's some of my friends growing up, when they'd say something, I'd roll my eyes. Well, I'll just tell my mom and dad. I'll just tell them. We'd go over there and they're like, no, you ain't telling your mom and dad. They'd whoop you in the next week. That's not half. But you'd roll your eyes when they'd something, but you knew to roll your eyes. Yeah. Now people say something, you're like, yeah, I'll take that. I think that's a good point, huh? You knew where they spent their Sunday mornings when you were younger. Of your 500, how many do you know was in church today? You knew their fruit. Today people have friends and we don't have a definition of a friend, and social media has changed that, and you got to hear and you got to know what they're saying, and you got to line it up, and you got to know who told you that. Who told you that? Matthew 7. There are people out there that are wolves and they're disguised as something they're not. And you can only know them based on their fruit, not on what you see. You've got to see the fruit. Parents, you got to be smart. Well, I just didn't know. I didn't know. I get that. So why I'm talking about this is so you will. Well, how would I have known? You got to know their fruit. What gives them the fruit to speak into your life in this day and time? You've got to be aware. People can change their picture online. They can change their voice online. Yeah, I'm still hitting on this because I need you parents to be aware of this. I can't fathom a thought of a young person falling victim because a parent wasn't looking out. Well, it was just their immaturity. It was the parent's responsibility. What is the fruit of a person's life that is telling you how you think about your boss, how you think about your job, how you think about gender, how you think about school, your spouse, your friends, your life, your church, your God, your worldview? Jesus addressed all of this, and I'm continually amazed. A person who will not listen to a church elder. I've watched this my whole life. A church elder who's been married 30, 40, 50 years, lived in the same town, paid their bills, never been late, been at the same job for 20 to 30 years. They have money in the bank. Their house is paid for. They may even have a four-wheeler. They might have a boat. I don't know. They have different things that you go, wow, how did they get that? They're in great standing. They're living a happy and blessed life in their marriage with their kids. They're respected in the community and at church. And if something's going on at church, they're serving there and they're a part. And then nobody listens to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hear me today. What I just said about them is called fruit.
Yeah.
But we're not going to listen to that person. We're going to listen to someone on social media that puts a post about something that would lead your thinking towards offense. They have no fruit that you know of, and how God's people have done you so wrong, and what they're talking about is going to lead you into your next life story. People telling you how to vote, who have no job, completely dependent on the government, and wants to try and make someone look good that is clearly against the Word of God. Not this person not volunteering in church, not going to church, not helping anyone or having anyone over to their house. They're not practicing hospitality. They own nothing. They do nothing. And you're listening to their thoughts about gender, foreign policy. You're listening to their thoughts about how the United States of America should be operating more as a socialist. Who told you that? Somebody's telling people that for the votes that are going the wrong direction. By the way, Tuesday is our primary election, and you need to go vote. Well, I'm just picking between two people. Yep, well, I don't even know them. Then find somebody who does and find out their fruit. Find out their fruit. We here at CMC, we're just doing the best job we can to keep people from being catfished. That's what we're doing. And we need it for all ages. A football player making $20 million a year, the year after he quits, he goes bankrupt. He has eight marriages that have all failed. His life is dysfunctional, and people are listening to his view on politics, sexual identity, and how to handle life. Come on, it's the same with movie stars. It's the same with politicians who's never had a job outside of a politic environment, a political environment. That's their whole life. Telling you how you should go to work and what taxes you should pay and the economy. And come on. Whose input are you listening to and receiving? Jesus made this very clear. Whomever you're listening to, their ideas and input become your ideas and input into this life. I'll ask you a question today. When someone can't run and manage their own life, how much do you really need their input in yours? Before I receive one thing from anybody, I got to ask a question. How's it working for you? I want to see the fruit in their life. Now, this message can obviously be taught from the ditch and say, well, you would never listen to anybody who doesn't have fruit. No, I would listen to someone and what they have to say because people are important. But I'm not going to let what they're trying to tell me needs to be done in my life to produce fruit when they don't have it. Are you following the difference? You don't shut off everybody and not listen to anybody. Jesus listened to the woman that was caught in adultery. He heard her, and then he gave her direction. And she realized, maybe I need to listen to him. As a pastor, and knowing a lot of pastors in my life, I've been to churches everywhere all across the country. And here's what I can tell you. I'm still friends with a lot of pastors from different walks of life, different denominations. And some of these men I know were of God because I watched them 30, 40 years ago, and I watched the fruit and the help that they were giving others because of the fruit that was in their life. And I've watched their life over 20 or 30 years. And what I'm telling you is the advice and what they were given from a biblical standpoint, they applied to their own life, and their fruit just got bigger and bigger and bigger. We have a little blueberry tree out in our yard. Now, I don't know if the drought got it or not. It's looking like it did. But this year we went out there with my grandkids and we picked, how many, 11? 11 blueberries. And we all got a couple. And I was like, wow, that was good. But it wasn't enough. I needed more, so we went to the Burtons. I didn't have enough to make a muffin or a blueberry pancake. What you got to see here is if you're wanting some blueberries, I'm not your guy. But I can tell you someone who has a lot of fruit in that area. When are we going to start going and being aware and being around the fruit? And it all starts by finding out if people are around the King. If they're around the King of Kings, if they're around the Lord of Lords, you can know. I'm going to end with a quick story here out of 1 Kings chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. But they made Rehoboam king. He gets to be the king, and he gets the advisors together, and he tells them, okay, I've got to address the people, and I need to talk about how this all is going to go. And so he assembles a bunch of advisors together that were already the advisors for the previous kings, and he gets them all together and says, I need your advice. They give him their advice. And they told him what should be done in order that everyone there would be able to serve him and he could remain and be king the way that he wanted to be, the way that he desired to be. Verse 5, he told them all. He goes, all right, that sounds good, but give me 3 days. Give me 3 days to think this over. So then he calls some younger guys in that he grew up with. I'm not making this up. You can go to chapter 12 and read the whole thing. He calls some younger guys he grew up with who had no fruit advising a king ever. And he gets them all together. In verse 13, it says that he spoke harshly to the people against the advice of the men who had fruit. He took the advice of the younger men who had no fruit, and he listened to the wrong advice. You say, okay, well, big deal. Yeah, it was a real big deal. He should have answered God's question. Who told you? Who told you to do what you just did? Because he did what someone told him to do that he shouldn't have listened to. And his whole life, he was in constant conflict. He was in battle. He eventually died. And really, if you read the word, that sums up his life. All because he didn't listen to anybody that he should have listened to. He was told how to live in peace and prosperity, told how life would work for him. Instead, he listened to a bunch of people who had no fruit. Please hear me today. I remember from a young age when I saw something that obviously was not working, I remember thinking, I wonder who told them that would work? Who told them that would work? Who taught them to do that? It obviously doesn't work. I've watched people skin deer for years, and I'm thinking, who told them that? That can go way faster if you just turn the deer around. Obviously, I have things that I think work better than something else. That's called an opinion. God's word is not an opinion. God's word is the authority. And so I'm not talking opinions today. I'm talking about how you're thinking, who you're listening to, where you're being led in marriage, how you're entertaining on Friday night, how you're handling your finances, how you're handling your kids. Today, live your life centered around the second question. Obviously, you can know where you are just by saying, okay, I'm in church this morning. You can be in church and be nowhere near God. So you've got to answer first, where are you? But the second thing you've got to say to yourself is, who told you what you're thinking right now? Before you post something online, you might want to ask, who told me to post that? Who told me that's what I should have done? And then answer and make sure that whoever told you has fruit in their life so that it will produce fruit not only in yours, but in everyone that surrounds you. Let's stay in the presence of God. Let's stay in the kingdom, and let's answer the question, who told you? Who told me? Who told me? Who told me to say that? Who told me to say that? I can answer that. I can tell you who told me. And I'll either go straight to the word or I'll go straight to someone who was out of the word. But it produced fruit before it's coming out of my mouth. That's what we've got to make sure of. And if it's not, you just correct it, turn around. He's right there. He's omnipresent, and you just get it fixed, and let's do it right. Let's do it right. Come on. I hope that was an encouragement to you this morning. Did you get anything out of the word today? Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.